our book of James. If you remember, last week we had Lord's Supper, and so we deviated for Sunday. But the time before that, Sunday before that, we were looking at the looking into the mirror of God's Word. And James was telling us to look in and to see what we see. And to think about the book of James and how the practicality of it, and that's why I love it so much, it's really test how we can test ourselves. And I mean, he's telling us there's different, the test of going through trials and temptations and tribulations and all these things, and how we handle that. And then the test of how we handle God's Word and what we do with it when we look into it. Then we allow it to change us, or do we just go away the same as we were when we looked into it to begin with? And then today we're going back to what is true religion. That's the title of our message today, true religion. And I want us to think about that. The world is full of religious people. Last night when we were having Joe's dinner, I overheard there was a guy, I didn't see who it was talking to another man, and he made this statement and said he's a very religious guy. He said, now he's not too religious, but he's a very religious guy. Now explain that to me, what that word, when somebody says he's very religious, what are they talking about? Are they talking about he goes to church or he's a believer in Christ? It's something for us to think about, isn't it? When Sandy and I traveled to India, India's 1.2 billion people, by the way. Think about that. We're roughly 330 million here in America. Think about 1.2 billion people. And as we got out, we got to travel around that country. We came, I'll never forget, we came up on, there was a hillside there, and we couldn't figure out, on the side of that hillside were all these little buildings, and I mean, it was just like, we said, what in the world is that? And it was shrines to God. There are 3 million gods in the Hindu religion, 3 million. There were 15,000 shrines on the side of that hill. I never forget that. And we were thinking about just the lostness of that. How great. So religious, would you call Hindus religious? They're very religious, right, in their beliefs. So I want us to think about that. I want us to think about true religion today. And so I want you to know that God, he sets a standard for us. And I'm glad when he told us to look in God's Word to see what he's going to show us, what his belief and what true religion is this morning. We're not going to have to question and say, I wonder what it is that God believes when we say that we're religious. So let's stand to our feet. We've just got two verses today. James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And the Word of God says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, reveal what it is you're trying to show us today. Lord, may each heart be open to that, what you're trying to teach us. And we'll praise you. Lord, hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look this morning at three truths that will help us determine what we believe. True religion. I want us to look at the first point, the danger of religion. And when I say religion, I'm talking about outward rituals of public worship that has nothing to do with a transformed inner experience. Think about that. Religion, outward rituals of public worship that have nothing to do with a transformed inner experience. In fact, Webster's Dictionary said that religion can be belief in God or gods or a system of worship. And that's what he said. Can it be a system of worship? So people can be very religious and never believe in the true God. So I want us to think about the danger of religion when it comes to this external public type of worship, when nothing has happened on the inside, but it's all outside. And I want you to see the danger of that first. It lacks reality. And look what the scripture says. If anyone among you thinks he is religious. So this lacks reality. James is challenging. What's he saying? Any among you. He's challenging the church. He's challenging believers. And then he says, if he among you thinks. Now think about it. Probably better transformed or seems or to appear according to one's own estimate. He assumes it to be true. If any among you thinks he is religious. You know, here's the deal. What is he thinking about him? think about yourself? Do you think of yourself as a religious person? I want us to keep that in mind. And James is saying that today. He's religious. Actually, the word religious comes from the word that refers to that external religious rituals or routine or ceremonies. I hope that we just don't do church as a routine or a religious ceremony. I hope we don't just come to church on Sunday morning because we live in the mountains and grandma and grandpa and mom and dad, that's what they did on Sunday mornings. I hope it's more than just that. I know one thing. I've experienced the living God today. It's running out everywhere, and I enjoy it. I love to be with God's people. You are my family. I love coming together. I love feeling God's presence. And that's what Sunday is about, us coming together as a group of believers, as a family, that we can worship God together, focus on Him. It's not just a ritual or a routine, that God can use us to go out in our communities and represent Christ. This is where we recharge. You know, my battery on my phone, it'll run out after I use it for a while. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? It doesn't last forever. At night, I have to go and I have to plug that thing in so it'll recharge so I can use it the next day. Anybody say amen? Yeah, everybody's used to that. This is our recharge time. This is when we come together that we're plugged in and we can be recharged to go out and make it through the week as we face the world. James says that this religion is superficial, this going through the routine. He says it lacks reality. Listen to this. Such things as attending church services and activities, doing volunteer work, following various rituals and ceremonies, saying prayers, and even having the right theology have no spiritual value in and of themselves apart from the true saving faith and the motive to glorify God. Here's the deal. You can come to church every Sunday. You can pray every day. You can teach Sunday school. You can be a pastor. You can do all these things and in the power of your own flesh and not have God's Spirit dwelling within you. When God's Spirit comes to dwell within us, it's not a ritual. It's not a routine. It's not religion. And we'll see that in just a minute. It lacks reality. We lack reality when we think that we're religious and we practice these standards and this is what makes it right. We do our little checklist. And we're all right for the week. We can feel good about ourselves because we came to church, we paid our tithes, we sang in the choir, we did all these things. It is not a checklist, my friend. It's not a checklist. In fact, if we think that way, we lack reality. And that's what James is saying. He's talking to the church, if any among you thinks he is religious. You see, most of the time, I'm just as honest, I'm just as real as I can be to you because I'm a man just like anybody else. I'm a pastor. It's the same, by the way, it's the same standard for the pulpit as it is for the pew. It's the same word, by the way. But sometimes I do things with my mind because I know it's the right thing to do. And that part of your disciplines in your relationship with God will start that way. But you know what? I want it to go past my mind and get about 18 inches lower. I want it to be out of my heart and my love for Jesus Christ that I do the things that I do, not because I know it's the right thing, but because it is the right thing and I live. It lives through me. It's Christ in me. And you understand the difference? There's a big difference there. Not just doing it because we know it's the right thing, but because we do it because we have a heart that loves Jesus Christ. We don't want to lack that reality. It's the heart that shows it and we live it out before the Lord. Not only does the danger of religion, does it lack reality, but listen, it lacks restraint. Look at the next word. It says, if any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue. What's he saying there? A person is, you know what, a person that is trusting in outside rituals and routine will sooner or later reveal his heart by the words that he speaks, by he or she speaks. In fact, if you think about it, a true mark of a Christian or a non-Christian is your speech pattern. How's your speech, by the way? How's your words? Listen to what Ephesians 4:29 says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know what it says? Let your speech be seasoned with grace. It might be that we don't cuss or we don't say bad words or don't say jokes, but are we cutting? Are we tearing? Are we gossiping? Are we tearing down or are we lifting up? James says, let your words be edifying. Don't just say, because he's saying this religion, if he doesn't control his tongue, look, something, don't bridle it. You know what a bridle is. You put it in a horse's mouth, right? You steer it the way it should go. And he's going to talk more about the tongue in chapter 3. We'll get there soon enough. But he's talking about our life is controlled. Our speech is controlled by our heart. In fact, if you remember, Jesus was always addressing the Pharisees, which were very religious people, weren't they? They were the religious people of that day. And he was saying, you know, it's out of your abundance of your heart that your mouth speaks. So he's letting us know that this reality, here's the deal. If your religion won't change your speech, you need to change your religion. How's that? It's not enough to change your speech. You need to change your religion. That's the danger of religion. I want us to look at the results of religion. Look at verse 26b. And he says, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You know what he's saying? The religion, it's vain or fruitless or non-productive. It's an experience of futility. It's wasting your time. Back early summer into August, what's coming up in September? You know, I deer hunt. Bow season's coming up, right? That's my thing. I love to get out. I love to bow hunt. So I go out, and here in North Carolina, you can bait deer. You say, oh, that's so terrible, baiting Bambi. Listen. You can bait them in, and then you get to eat them, you know, after you kill them. It's wonderful. No, I'm just saying, listen, but you go and you bait. You bait deer, right? I had this little spot picked out. I'd already scouted, and I said, yes, it's great. I took my truck and put me some corn in it, and I run off, and it's pretty rough. Here's what you do. You're trying. I don't have a four-wheeler. This is my four-wheeler right here. And so I have to carry it. And so what you want to do is get as close as possible, right? You don't want to carry that old corn and stuff or apples anywhere. So there was this little old gravel road that went down. It's pretty rough, but I said, man, I got a Chevrolet. That four-wheel drive, man, it won't be no problem, right? I got off in there, and guess what? When I put it in four-wheel drive, it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And before I was spinning, I'm saying, man, what in the world? I didn't realize my four-wheel drive unit had went out. You know what? It was useless because it wasn't working. I thought it. Well, you know, I thought I could get off in there and get out, no problem. It's the same thing with this religion here. When we think it does, and when we realize it doesn't have any weight to it, no gravitas, it doesn't have any anchor in the Lord, it's useless. It's spinning your wheels, just like the truck. Are we spinning our wheels this morning? I want to ask you, are you going forward in Jesus' name? I was talking last night with somebody at the supper. I talked about this last week. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. There's no neutral in this walk with Christ. There's no stopping point. You're going forwards or you're going backwards. Are you going forward this morning? Or are you spinning your wheels going backwards? James said that's what the results of this kind of religion, this idea with our mind, just spinning our wheels. How are we doing this morning? Here's my question. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you more like Christ this Sunday than you were last Sunday? Are we growing? There's no stopping. We need to be growing. We need to be about His business. We need to be in His Word. We need to be studying. We need to be living it every day. Not out of this routine or ritual, but out of, I don't want to get the cart before the horse. But we'll understand what He wants and desires from us. Religion that does not transform the heart and thereby the tongue is totally worthless in God's sight. In fact, we know that Matthew 12 said it's from the... Here's what he said, for by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. How are your words today? Are you edified? Are they seasoned by grace? Are you lifting people up? Something for us to think about. The results of religion. And then lastly, here we go, the fulfillment of relationship. You see, I had to wait to use that word. True religion is not a religion at all. It is a relationship with a God of this universe through a Savior called Jesus Christ. It's not going through the routine or rituals. It is a relationship with Him. And guess what? A relationship requires time. It requires talking. It requires listening. It requires spending time together. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You see, the difference between religion and relationship is the relationship with Christ will control every part of our life. Every part. It's not compartmentalized. We don't go to work and act one way. We don't be at home and act another. We come to church and act another way. No, it takes control of our life. Because I want you to see first, it reaches upward. We're going to think about this for just a minute. But when I got married, this is my wife down here, Sandy Michelle Cooper. Man, let me tell you, I could not have asked for a better woman. Behind any good man, there's a better woman. Okay, everybody knows that. The lady said, thank you. Here's the deal. When we got married, and she's the best thing that ever happened to me, I did not enter into the marriage religion. Okay? Did I? In fact, I received a wife and a relationship, a partnership for life. It's the same thing with our Christianity. When we receive Christ, we don't enter into the Christian religion. We enter into a relationship. We receive Jesus Christ. He's with you every day. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to show you, most of all, He wants to be your Lord and your Savior, and He wants to direct your path, and He wants to work on you all the time. It's a relationship. It's knowing and receiving Christ and loving Him. And this relationship, look what it does. It reaches upwards. What does it say? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father. You see what? What we do and how we act is before God. That'll change your life, by the way. That'll keep you from some places you shouldn't be. That'll keep you from doing some things that you shouldn't do. That'll keep you from saying some things you shouldn't say if you realize everything we do is before the eyes of our Father in heaven. God, you cannot go to the darkest room. You cannot get back in your little hiding cubby hole. He sees everything, and He knows. He even sees your heart. You see, that's the thing with me is, what is the motives? Why is the thing, why I do the things that I do? What is it? When we boil it down, what is the motive of what I'm doing? Is it to glorify God, or could it be pride? Pride's often there cloaking itself. It reaches upwards because it's before God. It's in the sight of our Heavenly Father. The genuineness of anybody's relationship is not determined by religion. But it's His, her, and His or her qualifications before God. His standard. Are we living by His standard? Because He's watching and He sees. He knows exactly where we're at. You cannot fool God. You can fool everybody else, but you can't fool Him. If we're His children, our ultimate motivation should be to glorify Him in everything that we do, to please Him, to keep our focus upward, to realize, here's the deal, that's our home. We'll be there one of these days. Eternal life starts the moment that you receive Jesus Christ. You become a child of heaven. That's it. Man, that's something to think about, isn't it? So here's the deal. We live a little different here on this earth when we're a child of heaven, do we not? We're different. We're motivated by a relationship with Jesus Christ to please a Heavenly Father. It reaches upward, but not only that, look what it does. It reaches outward. Look what it says. Is to what? To visit orphans and widows in their distress. Not only am I keeping my focus upward, you know what I'm doing? I'm interested in outward. I'm interested in personal ministry. Do you understand that each of you should have personal ministry that you do to the people around you, to your friends, to the community? That is, God wants you to do those things, to reach out to people. If I have a focus upward, then I'm going to be looking outward. That's why our church reaches out. That's why we do the things that we do, because we want to please God. We're in a relationship with Him, and we realize that pleasing God is not just about ourselves, but it's about a community and about a group of lost people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're right here in this beautiful place, downtown Todd. There's a community surrounding us that is our direct mission field. And when we understand and when we keep our focus, it's about God and it's about looking for opportunities. The opportunities are there around you. Sometimes we look past them in our busyness. Our relationship will result in personal ministry. Listen to what what 1 John 3, 17-18, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, it's easy for us to say we love Jesus. How is it that we're reaching out to the people around us? That proves out our love. Do we love them enough that we reach out to them? And I love what it says, orphans and widows. You know, that's the vulnerable people, the evil, the ones that are exploited often in the world. In James' day, especially, they were street people mostly, vagabonds, nowhere to live. And he says, what did he say? To go to them. We are to go to them, not wait on them to come to us. Go ye therefore. He didn't say wait for them to come to you, did he? He said, go ye therefore into this world. We to go to help the people in the crisis of life. That's what God and this pure religion he's talking, not only does it focus upward, but it reaches outward. And then lastly, look, it also reaches inward. Look what it says. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You see, in this relationship with my wife, there's some restrictions. There's some restrictions, right? She's my woman. I'm not supposed to be out here looking for another one or be hugged up to one. She's my wife. I'm to honor her and to love her. That relationship, there's some restrictions there. There's some restrictions in our relationship to Christ also. It's not to be like the world. You know, oftentimes it's hard to pick the Christians out of the worldly crowd. We're not any different most of the time. We like to blend in, don't we? We like to blend in because we don't want to dare to be different. Because then we might get ostracized or made fun of like the media loves, as we were talking about in our Sunday school class today. The media loves to exploit Christians and make fun of them for the stance that they make on what's right on God's Word. They love to make fun of. Oh, we don't want to be made fun of. We want to blend in. When God's Word says, you know what? We are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You know, he's talking about exhibiting personal purity. How's your purity this morning? Are you pure before the Lord? What you watching? What you doing? Are you pure before the Lord? You see, James is not only concerned about our treatment of others, but how we exhibit our testimony before others also. How's your testimony before your co-workers, before your family? How's your testimony before the people that God's placed in your life? Do they know that you're a Christian? How about they put you on trial? Would it be enough to convict you for being one before a jury of your peers? Could they convict you for being a Christian if you were on trial? Something for us to think about. You know, as Christians, we're to live in the world but not be of the world. Christ never called us to have a little convent and just be our own self. He called us to make a difference in the world. Think about Jesus and where he is and who he spent his time with. It was these very people that James is realizing, you know what, James is Jesus' half-brother, by the way, and he saw all these things go on. He lived with God. He saw him grow up. He saw that perfect example. He saw him reach out to the destitute, the poor, those that the world turned their back on, Jesus came for. Praise God. And so should we. We should be about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this relationship's not struggling. It's not trying. It's trusting. Stop enduring religion and start enjoying salvation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've shared this story last Sunday, we had James Thomas's funeral. And when you preach on Sunday morning, and there's something that you preach a couple, two or three times, and you feel like a dish rag. I don't know why. You have to ask the Lord that. I just don't understand that. But you just feel tired, and it was the end of a long day with James Thomas's funeral, a great funeral, a great man of God, so thankful. And I just wanted to go home, put my fun pants on. That's my pajamas. Put my fun pants on and sit down and watch football or something. I'm just human. But Howard Woodruff had talked about Tony Hamby, which is a young girl dying of cancer. And I knew she was my sister in Christ, so it wasn't like, you know, okay, that urgency to go and try to share the gospel, which I know you say, I thought, you know, but I need to go encourage her. I just wanted to sit down, but the truth, I was having that tug of war, but it's like the the love of Christ. It's like the Lord's love, not me. I can't take any credit. He was prodding me to go. And we went, and when we got there, she was in the shower, but her mom was there. Her mom was there, and so I'm a yakker, and I'm not, you know, I've got to talk. And so I'm sitting there, and I was talking to her and just trying to make her feel comfortable because here you've not met a pastor, and they come in your house and kind of feel, you know, don't know what to say. And so I was trying to be comfortable with her, and I said, you know, have you lived here all your life? Yes. I said, where do you go to church? Well, I don't really go to church. And then I started, you know, then you start sensing, wait a minute here. And I said, okay, it's not about church. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. We go to church because we're in that relationship, by the way. I come because I love Jesus and I love you. But I said, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I said, do you have that relationship? Have you ever asked Christ to save you? No, I haven't. Then I'm thinking, I was almost taking a gasp because it's hard to find a lost person in the South, by the way. Everybody's saved. Everybody is. You can go to door right now, the people that's not in church, 95% of them say, yeah, we love Jesus. Yeah, we're saved. But when she said that, no, I don't have a relationship, it's like that sword went through my soul, and I realized, here I am coming to encourage a woman. God's got another plan in mind. And before it was over with, she was crying out to God to receive Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Now, that's what it's about. And I thought, how, if I would have just went in and sat down and done what I wanted to do, what could I have missed out on the privilege? Somebody else. No, we didn't have anything. It's God's message. It's God's word. It's God's salvation. It's God's Holy Spirit. We can't take no credit, but you know what? He uses us, and he allows us to be a small part of that sometimes. And you want to talk about fired up? Well, Hybrid's like a youngin' at Christmas time. Woo! Woo! That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. There's a bunch of people, and here's what I want you to get a point across. That's a relationship with Jesus Christ that people, they're out there, and she was ripe. She was just like, look, this is waiting on somebody to come and tell her about Jesus. She didn't know that, but that was God's plan. The harvest is white unto the harvest. That's why he said the harvest is truly plenty. It's white unto the harvest. He said the fields are. He said, pray for workers of the harvest. I've been praying, God, just make workers out of us here at South Fort Baptist Church. Just make us to see that life's more about just going to work, paying bills, raising kids. It's about a purpose. It's about Jesus. And God's placed us here for this time to go out here and make a difference in our communities. Let me tell you, that's what it's about. If one, look, that's one more that the devil won't get. Praise God. She's our sister in Christ. And you know what? I wasn't trying to build South Fort Baptist Church. It's not about building a congregation. It's about building a kingdom. And I told her, you need to get in church somewhere. We'd love for you to come. I just want you in church. I want every church in here to be around here to be full. It's not about competition. I want to help people come to know Jesus and disciple them and help, let them have purpose and hope in life. That's what James is talking about. That's what religion, true religion, is not a religion at all. It's a relationship with Jesus. How about you today? Do you have that relationship? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ has come into your life and that he's changed you? I'm not talking about holler, yes, I'm saved, but then your life lays out a different road. That's not backslid. When you can live in sin and you're not convicted, that's lost. Period. Don't miss heaven because of your stupid pride and stubbornness. Only a fool, the scripture said, only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And when we mock God and we say we're saved and we live in contrary to his word and live in sin, we're stepping right over the bloodstained banner of Christ, stepping right over his salvation, stepping into eternity separated from him in a place called hell that he did not design for you to be there. It's for Satan and his angels. But when you reject the only way to salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ, that came to this earth at Christmas time. Aren't the decorations beautiful? They come at Christmas time. This is about a babe that came to manger, that grew to be a man that died on a cross, that died and they placed him in a tomb, but on the third day arose. That if you would just accept that and confess your sins before him, ask him to forgive you, that he could use you and save you and make you a child of the King. That's what a candle of hope's about, my friend, this morning. That's hope in Jesus Christ. Well, our applications and we're done. Our first is, are you taking care of your words, hands, and hearts? Are you taking care of your words, hands, and hearts? Think about that. Only you can answer that. Are you experiencing religion or a relationship? Number two. And number three, is your life marked by Christ or by the world? Gene, if you'll come and live it, you'll start playing. We'll have our time of invitation. How does this message find you? Where does it find you at? Oh, did you just come thinking you were on coming and visiting for one reason, but God had something else in mind? Could it be that the Lord wants you to rededicate yourself to His will and His ways? Could it be that you thought that you were doing so well, but you realize that it's more religion than it is relationship? Could it be that today could be the day of the salvation for a lost person? What will that be? Let's all stand to our feet. What is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Don't quench His Spirit. If He's told you to come forward, if He's told you to make a difference in your life, do it. Don't wait. Whatever you, whatever it is.